Okay, so we left off yesterday, just the very, very beginning, just an introduction to the sugya of Nachat Rabbi Abba. So just to recap just for a moment, let's see, we got a Rav Shtender back. To recap for a moment, the person is being accused of stealing somebody else's naska, of stealing somebody else's bar of silver. So the guy responds that, in chatvi vididi chatvi, that yes, I did grab it, it's true, but I didn't steal it, because it was mine all along, in chatvi vididi chatvi. So the problem is that there's an Eid Echad who's present who says that he was Chaytef. The Eid Echad saw that he grabbed it. So the Gemara gets into a whole convoluted problem. What are you going to do now? How are we going to pass in this Din Torah? On the one hand, it's one Eid Echad. On the other hand, the Eid Echad is Bechayv Shvua. The guy can't take a Shvua. Finally, Rabbi Abba comes to the conclusion that he's Mechuy Shvua Shen Yochel Shava. Mechuy Shvua Shen Yochel Shava Mishalim. So at the end of the day, the guy loses. So come the Rishayim, led by Taisras, and says, wait a second, I understand. This Taina, This Taina of in chatfe vididi chatfe, so that in of itself is not really a believable Taina. That's not going to win a story in Beis Din to say that I grabbed it with his mind. Usually when I grab something, that's indicative that's not mine. If I grabbed it off your back, I grabbed it out of your hands, that shows it was yours. So in chatfe vididi chatfe, in of itself, doesn't really carry the day. The only thing is that l'chayra, the guy should win with that taina, because he has a migo. What's the migo? Migo that he could have said he wasn't chaytef. What do you mean he could have said he wasn't chaytef? There's an eidach that said he was chaytef. So in order for him to say that he wasn't chaytef, he would have had to take a shvua. So good. So let's revamp the migo as follows. Let him be believed to say, in chatpe bedidi chatpe bishvua. We'll take a shvua to that effect. Migo that he could have said, lo chatpe with a shvua, and he would have been believed. So what happened to that migo? Why does the Gemara walk away from the migo? What's the problem? Why did Rabbi Abba paskin? Why did we paskin that the guy is known that monos? Typically, that ichus migo should solve the problem. So there has to be something wrong with that migo. So we're trying to identify what is the feature, what's the characteristic of that migo that's problematic. What is wrong with the in charpe di charpe? You should be believed b'shvu migo lochak fiklo. So we started yesterday with the following yisod that Taisus presented. We have to elaborate upon this a little bit. But Taisus presented the following possibility. That we know, we've already spoken about this many times, that the basic yisod of Migo is, it's not enough to say that, believe me, at X Migo, I could have said Y, but I have to, what was the phrase? Could have, what? Just as easily, we made up a new club, just as easily have said Y. If there's some reason, some psychological inhibition that I have, some reason that's preventing me from saying Y with the same ease as saying X, that's not considered to be a migo. That's a cloud we saw of migo. The other we noticed already from before. So the Tosis raises the following question. Can such a scenario where I want to be believed to say X, migo I could have said Y. Both cases require a shvua, but the level, the degree of shvua is different. When I say X, I'm getting away with a cheap shvua derabanan. If I would have said Y, I would have been required to take a shvua diaraisa. Is that called a valid migo or not? Is that called just as easily or is that not? If the answer to that question is that is called just as easily, what's the difference? Diaraisa, derabanan. Most people never look at a shvua anyway. Most people don't even know what the difference in shvuas, diaraisa, and derabanans are. The guy knows shvua means a shvua. So if that meets the criteria for just as easily, then it's a good migo. If it's a good migo, then Mataka is stuck with the question, why in Renatsa Derbi Abba don't we invoke that migo? If you will be able, I'll be able to convince you that that's not a good migo, that's lacking it just as easily, so then I understand why migo doesn't apply here. So that's today's year, at least the beginning of today's year. We have to analyze that question. Going from a shvud, a taina which requires a mere shvud rabbanan, the migo I could have taken a shvud raisa, is that considered to be a valid migo or not? So comes Tyson says, we have a precedent for this, perhaps, and that's a sugya of Ayin and Babavasana. We've spoken about the sugya before. We know about the sugya from the days of Tanina, that's just Chazrit just for a second. Famous sugya of Ayin, where the Gemara discusses the following. I come to Menachem, and I say, Menachem, I gave you a pikadon, I gave you a car to watch, and I have a shtar that says that. I have a shtar that says, Menachem is holding my car in his driveway. Okay, so the one thing that L'chorah Menachem will not be believed to say is Echzarti. That would be probably the worst thing for him to say is Echzarti, because I have a shtar, and a good old friend, Shtar Chibiyadi, my boy, if he really returned the car, why do I still have the shtar? So Echzarti is probably the worst possible time for Menachem to say. A more correct taina for him to say would be tainas nansu, to say that the car was blown up. The car, if he's a shama chinam, he doesn't have to say even nansu. He could just say it was nignava. If he's a shama socha, then he has to say that it was nansu. So he could taina, and Acha could respond that, let me tell you exactly what happened to the car. A tornado came, a cyclone came, and it blew it away, and it's flying somewhere from Kansas to the land of Oz. It's not here anymore. There's an aynas showing that's what happened to the car. So if he would have said that, he would have been believed to say that. Almost he would have been believed to say that. What would he have had to do? He would have had to take a shvua. So comes the Gemara and says that even though tainas echzarti in and of itself is not valid, because it's against the shtachah b'yadim eboi, but you are believed to say echzarti, the migo that you could have said nansu, provided that, of course, you're willing to step forward and do what? And take a shvua to what? To what extent are you going to take a shvua? That it's nansu? You're not claiming it's nansu. What do you have to take a shvua? What's the shvua you're going to take? Hezarti. Good. So the Gemara creates this migo. So the Gemara says this is a good migo. Machlekes the Gemara, suffocate the Gemara. But the Gemara's maskana is that we have a good migo on the books. It's called Hezarti Migo Dinansu. And just to make the migo even, just to make sure that there's no issues with the migo, just as there's a shvua over here, so too there's going to be a shvua over here. So that's the Beferish Gemara and Daf Ayin and Bava Basra. Now Kol Tyson asks, so he comes to work. Comes Tyson and says, well, what's the degree of these shvuas? What's the mechayiv of these different shvuas here? If the person would have said Nensu, if Menachem would have been smart and would have said Nensu, so what would have happened? We would have been forced to shvua. What kind of a shvua would we have forced? Clearly a shvua deraisa. How do I know that's a shvua deraisa? Okay, good. Can't get more beferish than that. But we're not saying Nansu. Menachem didn't say Nansu. He's an honest guy. He's saying exactly. So we're going to throw a shvua at him. I ask you, Rabbi Isai, this new shvua that we just made up in Bava Basra Daf Ayin, for Shemi to take a shvua that exarti, is that a shvua satira? Is that Parshas Mishpatim speaking to us? Not by a long shot. That's not Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim doesn't speak about Shavuos Echzarti. Parshas Mishpatim only speaks about Shemechinim is Nishba by Geneva, Shemesachar is Nishba by Oynes. Those are the only things that appear in Parshas Hashomrim. Echzarti, this Shavuot doesn't exist. We can't make up Shavuos. There are only three Shavuos Deraisas. The Shavuos Maidim Mixas, the Shavuos Erech, and the Shavuos Hashomrim. Shavuos Hashomrim doesn't mean every single Shavuot that a Shomer would take is called the Shavuot Deraisa. A Shavuos Hashomrim means Shavua Hashem Tia Ben Shneim, the Shavua that Nansu, the Shavua that there was a Geneva. So clearly, this Shavua is only going to be a Shavua Derabanan. So what do we have here, Rabbi Zay? We have a Shavua Derabanan that's being put into motion with a Migo of a Shavua, which would have been a Shavua. What did I write that for? What did I mean to write? I meant to write the Araisa. So Rabbi said what was taking place over here is in Lechora, very, very similar to what's happening in our sugya. We are granting a person a taina of exarti, albeit with a shvua, migo that he could have said another taina, albeit with a shvua, even though we're jumping from shvuas derabanan to shvuas deraisas. And the Gemara doesn't bat an eyelash about this. The Gemara doesn't have any problems with this. Zetman from Dos is Taisus. Lechor, you see from here that this is a valid migo. This is a good migo. This does meet the criteria of just as easily. The fact that it changed from derabanan to deraisa doesn't bother us. So Taisus presents this as a possible proof. Now, everybody says, is this a good proof or not? What could possibly be wrong with this proof? This proof, of course, is assuming two things. What are the two things this proof is assuming? It's assuming that Shavuos Hechzarti is only Shavuos Derabanan, and it's assuming that Shavuos Nansu is, in fact, a Shavuos Deraisa. If either one of those factors is wrong, if they're both Derabanan or they're both Deraisa, then Tosfos parallel to our case, of course, falls by the wayside. So if we can just simply prove that one of those two boxes is not correct, then this Gemara becomes very nice and interesting. We like it when we learn the sugyas of Taninan, but it's a true Gemara, true but what? But irrelevant. Very good. So the guys are starting to catch up. True but irrelevant to our discussion. So Taisa's whole shtuk of Torah, that this Gemara of Ayin is going to save the day, is only as strong as the two premises of Taisa's are. So are the two premises correct or not? So Taisa's attacks this premise. Taisa's goes to town to try to show you whether this premise is correct or not. So what do you mean, is this premise correct? Of course it's correct. Anyone who was in shul for Parshas Mishpatim? Doesn't the Torah say Shavuos Hashem Tia Ben Shneim? Isn't Shavuos Nensu a Shavuos Deraisa? What else is Shavuos Hashem if not Shavuos Nensu? So Tosfos refers you to a machleik between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, a very, very complicated Tosfos in Baba Kama Daf Kuzayin. Did I put that Marmakomas? No, but I put the Tosfos in here on the Marmakomas, and Tosfos refers you to that, so everyone should have looked that up, okay? This machleik is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, a very basic, fundamental question about the nature of Shavuos HaShomerim. The fundamental question between about the nature of Shavuos HaShomerim touches on the relationship, or lack thereof, between Shavuos HaShomerim and Shavuos Moedim HaMikzos. Why would anybody think there's any relationship whatsoever between these two Shavuos? We have three Shavuos derives. Shavuos Eidecha, that's in its own world. And then we have Shavuos HaShomerim and Shavuos Moedim HaMikzos. Why would anybody think there's any connection whatsoever? Anyone have any idea? It's the same pasuk. Where's the Mokor? Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. That pasuk, lo and behold, happens to be written in Parshas HaShomerim. So that in of itself is a red flag. There may be some connection between the two. So in order to understand the Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, we have to get a little bit of a background as to how to read pshat in that pasuk. Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. It's one of our favorite pesukim this year. That and Achiram Mahatas, I'd say, were a toss-up for the top most famous pesukim this year. If we had a pasuk from Migo, we would find that would be number one. We just have no idea where it comes from. Good. Comes the Torah Kedesh and says, who wants to read for me Parshas Mishpatim? Ki yitain ish ara'ehu kesev ochalim lishmar v'gunam yibayis ha'ish im yimatzeach anav yishalem shenayim im lo yimatzeach anav nikrab al-abayis ha'olim im lo shalach edom lach zri'ehu al kol dvar pesh al shor al chamor al sel samah al kol aveda asher yaymar ki huzeh. Stop. Sukkot the Paschim Moshe. Okay, shouldn't stop in the middle. Alright, we did it right. Asher yaymar ki huzeh. That's the Mokah for Moedim HaMikzos. It's from this Pasuk that we learn out the following. If I say, Moshe, you owe me $100, and Moshe's not only $50, Moshe's got to pay me the $50, he's got to take a Shavua Deraisa. Huh? What does it have to do with Moedim HaMikzos? Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh is not talking about cash, not talking about Havos, it's talking about a Pikadon. It's talking about Shavuos HaShomerim. Where did Chazal see in this Pasuk anything at all to do with Moedim HaMikzos, of a Havos? So comes the Gemara and quotes the following statement, called Eruv Parshias Kosef Kan. What in the world does that term mean? Eruv Parshias? Anyone learning Daf Yomi these days? Eruv Parshias Kosef Kan. We plan every Shia that it should be up to date with the Daf Yomi. Eruv Parshias Kosef Kan. Eruv Parshias Kosef Kan means as follows. This phrase, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, is quote unquote, and please don't misquote me, is written out of context. That means the Torah Kedoshah for some deep dark secret, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to put this pasuk Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh into Parshas HaShomerim, even though it's not really referring to classic Parshas HaShomerim. This pasuk is ma'urav, it's in the wrong place. Eruv means a mixture. The pasuk really, really, really belongs, the real halachic context of the pasuk Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, really refers to a different parsha. What's the different parsha? Im Kesef Talva Es Ami, a few psukim later, which is the parsha of Halvah. So there are two different parshas in Parshas Mishpatim. There's Parshas HaShomerim, and there's Parshas Ma'avav Aloiva. So in reality, the Gemara says, Eruv Parshias Kosef Kan, and the truth is the Pasuk Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, really, the Tashem HaPeh part of the Pasuk at least, the Pshutosh HaMikra makes sense in Hilchos Shomerim, Rashi says in Farish and Chumash, but the Tashem HaPeh dimension of the Pasuk, being the Mokah for Shavuos Moedim HaMikzos, that Drasha that teaches us Moedim HaMikzos, really is more appropriate in Parshas and Kasif Talva as Ami, and that's what it means, Erev Parshas Kasif Kan. Kach Nemra, Tashem HaPeh, it's Gazai Shteit, Gazai Nemra L'Moshe Misina, Erev Parshas Kasif Kan, that the phrase Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh is really more correctly belongs in the Parshas and Kasif Talva as Ami. Good. Very good. So far, so good. So what do we do with that piece of information? So we now know that there are two different shavuos that exist in Parshas Mishpatim. Shavuos Eidechad is learned after the Pasuk of Parshas Shoftim, so we're not going to talk about that now. Even though that's a sugi of Nasa Rabbi Yappa, but we're not interested in that right now. We're much more interested about these two shavuos that appear in Parshas Mishpatim. So one is Shavuos HaShomerim, Shavuos Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneim, that we know, and Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh, which is the Mokor for Moedim HaMikzos, it really doesn't even belong in Shavuos HaShomerim. So now we have the following shayla. Yesh Ladun. That which we say that Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh doesn't really belong in Parshas HaShomerim, what does that mean it doesn't really belong in Parshas HaShomerim? That means it has absolutely no relevance to Parshas HaShomerim at all. It means the Shavuos HaShomerim is not bound by that Parsha of Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. It's mamash we cut and paste, we took the pasuk out of Parshas HaShomerim and shripped it into Parshas Kesef HaTavos. I mean, it doesn't exist in Parshas HaShomerim. There's no meaning, there's no halachic significance to Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh and Parshas HaShomerim b'chlal. Is that true? What would that mean if that was true? What that would mean is, in order to administer a Shavuos HaShomrim, there is no requirement of Kihuzeh. What is Kihuzeh? What's the code phrase Kihuzeh mean? Hodah b'miktzas. You don't need a Hodah b'miktzas to be mechayev Shavuos HaShomrim. When I say, Menachem, I gave you one car, and Menachem says the car got blown up, what's the halacha? He's got to take a Shavuah. Where's the Hodah b'miktzas? There's no Hodah b'miktzas. He's a kofer b'kol. And it doesn't matter. When it comes to Shavuos HaShomrim, there's no limitation of Asher Yomar Kihuzeh. Iruparishas Kosev Kan. Iruparishas means that the requirement of Kihuzeh, the limitation that the Shavuos only exists in a Torah with the Vaidim and Mitzvahs, only applies to Avad, doesn't apply to Pikadon. That's the ultimate Iruparishas Kosev Kan. The ultimate taking the Pasuk out of Parishas HaShomrim and shtupping it into Havah and removing it Lagamri from Parishas HaShomrim. That is Rashi's version of Iruparishas. And therefore, according to Rashi, although when you have a din Torah between a malva and a loiva, there is no shvur deraisa without a moedim mixus. When you have a din Torah between a mafkin and a shomer, there is no such requirement to moedim mixus. Even a kefir akol, Moshe said, Menachem says legamre, says the car was blown up. There's no hodah kihuzeh, no kubat tenet, nothing, zero, no hodah at all. Apa pichein there's a shvur deraisa. That's Rashi's version of shvur sashemer. Comes Rabbi Tam and says, come on. Iru Parshas is cute. Iru Parshas is nice. But Iru Parshas means that we're going to take Kihuzeh and also apply it to Parshas Kesef Tavas Ami. It's going to serve as a source for Shavuos Mayim Miktzas and Hilchos Halvah as well. But to be Oikiret Legamrei from where it belongs, to say Kihuzeh is no Shaychus to Parshas Shom, says Rabbi Tam, that's true. Of course it is Shaychus to Parshas Shomrim. What's the significance of this? Comes Rabbein Tam and says the following, Chiddush Gadol, unbelievable Chiddush, Zot Rabbein Tam. I come and I say, Menachem, I gave you one car to watch. Where's the car? And Menachem says, you won't believe it, it was blown away by a tornado. So we, since we were in third grade and we learned Perek HaMafkin, we always thought that Menachem's got to take a Shavuot D'Oraisa. Right? That's our initial reaction. I say, where's the car? You say, it was blown up. It's not here anymore. Shavuos HaShomrim, says Rabbein Tam, what? What's the din according to Rabbi Tam? You have to take Shavuos HaShomrim in the Torah? Nope, there's no Shavuos HaShomrim in the Torah. You know why? There's no Hodah b'miktzas. What is Shavuos HaShomrim in the Torah according to Rabbi Tam? I come to you, Menachem. I gave you two cars to watch. Okay? So one of them, Menachem says, here's one car back, and the other car got blown up. Comes Rabbi Tam and says, then and only then is the Shavuos HaShomrim in the Raisa. Shavuos HaShomrim D'Oraisa does not exist in the absence of a Hodah. We have Mishnayos, we have Sigyos, we have half of Metziah speaking about Shavuos HaShomrim. Without that second phantom Pikado, without Hodah B'Miktzah, Zokter Ben Etam, Chirish Golem of Akamadav Kuzayim, what? All those Shavuos that we know of, what we call Shavuos HaShomrim, classic, standard, Hamafkin, it's a Chaver of Hema Kalim, there's only one Pikado in there. There isn't the Hodah B'Miktzah, Zokter Ben Etam. All those Shavuos HaShomrim are only what? Only what? They're only midirabbanan. They're shvuos hashom. They're make believe shvuah midirabbanan. The shvuos hamishna, the tanoim or mechayev the shvuah, but it's not the real makor. Shvuos hashom d'araisa requires hodah b'miktzas. Otherwise, you don't meet the criteria of asher yomar kihuzeh. Famous machlekes Rashi in the time of Kama Dav Kuzay. So comes Tosfos now and does the math. Comes Tosfos and says, our entire premise of bring a raya from the ayin. We're trying to bring a raya that a guy gets off with a migo. I take a shvur dera. I make a taina which requires me to take a shvur dera banan migo that I could have made a similar taina, a different taina that would have required me to make a shvur dera isa. So Rabbi Natan Tos was so excited, says, "Aha! We discovered a gemara that says this is a good migo. This is a valid migo. So if this is a valid migo, why isn't it a valid migo in Baba Basa da Flamadal in the sugim nafkad Rabbi Abba?" Comes to us and says, the validity of this raya is only good as so far as these two boxes are correct. If either one of these boxes changes, then the raya falls by the wayside. Zok Tosfos, which box just changed according to Rabbeinu Tam? The deraisa box just became a derabanan box. If deraisa just became derabanan, according to Rabbeinu Tam, so of course this is a good migo. What's the shaila? Believe me to say echzarti, I'm going to take a shvur derabanan. Migo, I could have said nen, so we should have invited, would have been chayav a shvur derabanan. That's a good migo, what's wrong with that? That's not Ersugi, that's not Naskad Rabbi Abba. In Naskad Rabbi Abba, the guy wants to be believed to say, in chatfei, v'didi chatfei, with a shvur derabanan, migo that he could have said, lo chatfei, which would have been a Shvu D'Araisa. That's bad. That's not the same as Barabbas said, that's Ayin. This is the Rabbanan to the Rabbanan. This is the Rabbanan to the Araisa. This doesn't have the just as easily component. So comes Tosfos and says, according to Rabbi Natan, that Gemara in Barabbas doesn't serve as a Raya to anything. But according to the Lekashitas Rashi, that Rashi holds that Shavuos Nensu is a Shavuos D'Araisa, even in the absence of Hodah B'Miktas, just one mere Pikadon, one animal, one car is also a Shavuos D'Araisa. So in Baba Basud of Ayin, we are going from a D'Rabbanan to a D'Araisa, and Afa Pichein, you see from the Gemara, that the Migo works. Zemin Fanda, according to Shitas Rashi, that you can make a jump, that the D'Rabbanan to D'Araisa can qualify as a valid Migo. So Tosfos, this is Tosfos' first mahalach. Tosfos says, whether or not Daf Ayin is a good raya depends on the Machlokes Rashi Rabbi Natan. One could have changed the equation in a different way. Rather than changing this box could have remained the same. We could have kept the Shavu of Nensu to be a D'Araisa and still refuted the raya of Tosfos. What box could we change? The Achzarti box. We could say that maybe to say Achzarti is what? Is also D'Araisa. Where does it say that in Chumash? It doesn't say anywhere in Chumash. So comes the Shach and says, it is clear from Tosfos that Tosfos never dreamt of Shavuos Achzarti to be a Shavuos D'Araisa. Because Tosfos read Chumash. Tosfos paid attention to Parshas Mishpatim. The Torah in Parshas Mishpatim only speaks about Shavuos Nensu. Only speaks about Shavuos Nignava. It never speaks about Shavuos Achzarti. Shavuos Achzarti cannot possibly be a D'Araisa. That's an impossibility, says the Shach. That's what Tosfos assumed. But, says the Shach, just in case you were wondering, the Sma disagreed. The Sma claims that any Shavua that a Shomer partners himself with is by definition called Shavuos HaShomer, love of D'Araisa. And this Shavua, which we couldn't believe, tells us they didn't even fathom, could have been a Shavuos D'Araisa, could be it is a Shavuos D'Araisa. If it's a Shavuos D'Araisa, then Tosfos Raya also falls by the wayside. So Tosfos Raya from Daf Ayin, that this is a valid Migo, is hinging on a few different factors. It's hinging on Machlokes Rashi Rabbi Natan, it's hinging on Machlokes Sma HaShach. Not such a Poshut Raya, not so convinced. So this is again one possible mahalach that Tosfos has to disqualify this. Again, we're not learning about Metzia right now. We're not learning Shomrim right now. We just want to know what happened to the migo of in chatfei didi chatfei the migo shelo chatfei klal. That's all I want to know. Is migo? What happened to that migo? What's wrong with that migo? So Tosfos said the one possibility that's wrong with that migo, it's jumping from a deraisa from a derabbanan to a deraisa. It's lacking. It's not as easily could have been said. This is the first Malach of Tosfos with all the complications and all the cheshbonos that Tosfos made. It's good. So far, so good. Let's move on. Says Tosfos, I'm going to tell you another problem with the Migo. In Eidei Shloimeh, forget everything we just said. Says Tosfos, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with this Migo. You know what's wrong with this Migo? In Chatfei, believe me to say, in Chatfei, v'didi Chatfei, the Migo that could have said Lo Chatfei, I don't have to make up a new category of problematic Migos. I have a problematic Migo. What's wrong with this Migo, Rabbi Say? What's the worst thing a Migo could be? A Migo de Ha'aza. Chutzpah is the worst thing in the world. A Migo de Ha'aza. This is a Migo de Ha'aza. Why is this Migo de Ha'aza? What's playing out over here? There's an Eidecha coming to Bezin and screaming, I was there, I saw this guy being Chaytef. I have two responses to that. Either I could say, yes, it's true, I was Chaytef, but it was mine. That's one possible response. Or I could say, lo chazfein, you're a liar, and you're a shakran, and get out of here. You're lying in Beis Din. You're in violation of Maseres HaDibros, L'Sana Berecha et Shakran. Those are the two responses that I could have. Which one is a nicer response? Which is a less confrontational response? What's a nicer thing to say? There's a guy standing in Beis Din. His eyes are glaring at me, staring me down, and saying, I saw you be chaytef at Naska. I have two responses. Which one is a less chutzpah response? Which is less chutzpah, Rabbi Zay? See, the guys are such, Baruch Hashem, the Tamidim are such a high level that they can't even be gairous what chutzpah means. You know? Either that or they're so exhausted by Thursday, I don't even know what I'm talking about. You have two times to answer. Either that, I just called you big tzaddikim, or I called you exhausted. Which one is less chutzpah? No. What? Yeah, to say in chafi di chafi, come on, you have to be, come on, not so hard. In chafi di chafi, I'm not arguing with you. You're right. Shkoyach, you're an excellent aid. You saw everything. You were perfect. You saw exactly what you're supposed to see. You were just missing a piece of information. You didn't know that I'm the owner of the Nascha. I'm not confronting you. I'm not calling you a chakra. And I'm best friends. Right? We're best friends. But if I say, lechatfi, I'm not just taking a guy on. I'm staying in a chutzpah. The guy's going to start screaming, you were chaytiv. I'm going to say, it wasn't chaytiv. Screaming, yelling, shrei chaybikayim. It's a much more of a chutzpah dikatayna. So comes Tyson and says, Nisama, that's the problem in our sugya. That's the fear. The chisar of the migor in our sugya is don't have to make up new chisrenes of their isis, their abanas, and mysis with Tyson and with Riot, Rabbeinu Tam, and Rashi's, and Smazachav. It's a straightforward migor. We're finished. That is the ultimate chisaron in chatvei, v'didi chatvei. Believe me, migo, I could have said lo chatvei. Lo chatvei is a ha'oza. In chatvei, di chatvei is not a ha'oza. It's a migo da oza, migo da oza le'emri. That's the next mahalach of the thesis. So far, so good. Not bad, right? Comes to us and says, just in case you didn't like that, I have a new one. I'll tell you another problem with this migo. By the time we're done, we're going to have so many problems with this migo. Comes to us and says, Eigish lemre. Perhaps this Migo falls onto the category of, I would say it's a cousin of Migo de Ha'aza. It's a Migo de Yare. What does Migo de Yare mean? Migo de Yare means, I have two tithes in front of me, X and Y. Saying X is not going to cost me down the line. Nothing could possibly happen to me wrong if I say X. If I say Y, so that may cost me down the line. I may have some serious repercussions from saying Taina Y. I'm afraid to say Taina Y. Come to Rishayim, comes Tyson a few places and says, such a Migo is not a Migo. Why is such a Migo not? There's no good marbeferish about this. What's the problem with a Migo de Yare? What's the problem? If you had a pinpoint, what's the problem with Migo de Yare? It's the exact same problem as a Migo de Haza. The whole idea of a Migo is, believe me to say X, I could have just as easily said Y. Well, there's a reason why I'm not saying Y. I'm not saying why, either because it's a chutzpah to say why, because I don't want to be in the chutzah. Or I'm not saying why, because I'm scared for my life to say why, because I don't want to end up having to pay money down the line, getting my foot in my mouth by saying why. If there's something that's logically preventing me from saying why, so migo diyar, migo da oza, and mamash came out the same. One's an issue of chutzpah, one's an issue of fear, but the same halachic principle. We already had migo diyar. Who remembers migo diyar way, way back? What? But it's okhrim? By the two, by the Adam Zimmerman. Taisa's famous kasha, whenever you have two sets of Adam, Trey Utrey, why don't you say the second set of Adam should always be believed? Migo that what? Migo they tells us two questions. Migo they apostle the first Adam, or Migo they were mazim the first Adam. So Taisa says, Migo the mazim the first Adam, that's not such a good Migo, because it's a Migo de Yare, right? So let's call it Migo the apostle. But, okay, so tells us we've already seen the kasha of Migo de Yare. So comes tells us here and says, this is also the Chara Migo de Yare. It says Taisus. Velekel Meimanami, we're presenting it as if it's an answer. Taisus eventually rejects it, but Velekel Meimanami, the high low mesh chashiv Migo, lo havim chosif lo meim lo chat, vil hachash is the eight. That's the Migo de Ha'oza answer. Oh, mishum shi yare shlech tzulu le eight, it's the eight of Balanascha. Oh, 1 second. What's the Yare exactly? I have two tainas in front of me. One is in chatfe vididi chatfe, and one is lo chatfe klal. To say in chatfei v'didi chatfei, what could possibly go wrong for me? In chatfei v'didi chatfei, what could possibly be wrong? If I say lo chatfei, I may end up in big, big trouble. What trouble am I going to end up in if I say lo chatfei? You know what I say? What big trouble am I going to get into if I say lo chatfei? What's going to happen? The Erechad is screaming, forget the shul. The Erechad is screaming, you are chaytif. And I'm going to say I wasn't chaytif. I mean, why word against his word? It's one-on-one. What could possibly be wrong? There's nobody else here. Who? Plaintiff. I mean, the who? The Baal Dover. Right, plaintiff. Remember who the plaintiff is. Right? The Baal Dover. The Baal Hanaska. He's going to gang up together with who? He's going to be in cahoots with the Eid Echad. And both of them are going to be made against me. What? That I was chaytif. 2-on-1, they're going to possibly aid this. They're going to make me into a goslin. I'm never going to be believed for the rest of my life. I'm never going to get maftiyin anymore. They're going to possibly aid this. So I'm always afraid in the back of my mind, I'm terrified to say lo chatfi, because if I say lo chatfi, I'm going to get knocked out by two people. The Baal HaNascha together with the aid. Everybody should be sitting and listening to me and saying, is Tosis kidding? The Baal HaNascha is going to be the other aide? He's going to get me in behind bars? The Baal HaNascha? Baal HaNascha is the Baal, he's the guy in the Baal, he's the Baal Dover. He's not on the witness stand. He's the, what do we call him for? He's the plaintiff. How could the Baal Dover be made? What's Tosis told? Who's Tosis kidding? So Tosis didn't just say it like that. Tosis referred you, kind of under the breath, to a sugya Masechta Sanhedrin. Have I looked up the Gemara Sanhedrin? Okay, we have to get a little bit of a background in order to appreciate the godness of this Tosis. Comes to us and says, yep, it's true. The Baal Dover and the Eid Echad can gang up together and possibly aid us. How can they do that? Based on the following. Comes the Gemara Sanhedrin in the third prayer, tells the following story. A guy walks into Beis Din and makes the following statement. Ma'aseh Shrek Echai. Reuven walks into Beis Din and he says, you know that guy Shimon? That guy Shimon's a real Rasha. Can I tell you what Shimon just did? You won't believe what Shimon just did. Shimon just lent money to Levi Beribis. I saw it myself. I was there, I watched, I saw the Hava Beribis. Shimon just lent $1,000 to be collected $1,200. He lent them in Ribbis Diraisa, and therefore Shimon is possibly Aedus, Lechal Dover, and Shimon is at Russia. Terrible. He's a Malva Beribis. That's very nice. Thank you very much, Reuven. You came and you told us that piece of information. You're an Erechot. So, Loyokam Erechot Be'ish, we do absolutely nothing with that Aedus. What happens? Who walks into the Beis Din a second later? Levi walks into the Beis Din and says, let me tell you a story, Beis Din. You won't believe this. That guy Shimon over there, what a rusher he is. He lent me money beribis. So Beis Din looks at Levi in the face and says, wait a second, hold on. Stop. He lent you money beribis. And you accepted that loan? Absolutely accepted that loan. What did Levi just say about himself? They just violated the Issa Dereisa of being Lova beribis. There's an Issa Dereisa and the Malvin Issa Dereisa and Loiva. Lososhech Lechicha. So Levi just got finished incriminating himself, saying that he himself was Levi Beribis. Now, can we accept that? Can we accept the person testifying that they did an Aveira? Chas v'shalom. A guy walks to Beis Din and says, I'm Mechel Shabbos? Meaningless. Why? Ain't other Mesa Matzah of Russia. A person has no zero nemanis to say that they did an Aveira. Absolutely nothing. So now, what are we going to do with this Aedus over here? So we have, who went to? Reuven lent, I forgot who went to. Reuven lent to Shimon? Shimon's Levi. Okay. Reuven's the outside. Okay. So Reuven and Levi are in effect both testifying that Shimon did the Aveir being Malva Beribis. That's true. Reuven and Levi are both testifying this. But Levi's Eidus cannot be accepted because Levi is a Kohen Beis Latzmai. So what is the Gemara saying? Unbelievable Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? What do? We take what utensil? Take a scissor and we cut Levi's statement in half. Levi's statement in Beis Din was, Shimon lent me $100 beribis. That's what he said. Shimon lent me $100 beribis. We take a scissor, we cut out the word me, because we can't accept it anyway, because it's another Mesa Matzah of Russia. We chuck the word me, and we're left with the rest of the statement. Shimon lent $100 beribis, which by golly is exactly what who just said? But Reuven just said, so we have Pishnah Meir, Yachom Dover, we have two Eidim or Meir, but Shimon just violated the Yisuf, Malva Beribis, Shimon is possibly Eidus. Says the Gemara, you're right, that's exactly what the din is. That's the Gemara in the beginning of the third Brachos Sanhedrin, called Palgina and Dibura. We cut out the part of the Eidus that we're not interested in, and not we're not interested in, we cannot accept it, the Halacha prevents us from accepting it, and we accept the rest of it. That's the Parashah Palgina and Dibura. Comes Tosis and says, let's apply the exact same story over here. When the Eid Echad testifies one thing, all the Eid Echad says is that this guy was Chaytif and Nascha. That's what the Eid Echad said. Pliny was Chaytif and Nascha. What does the Baal HaNascha say? That Pliny was chaytif and nascha from me, and I want that nascha back. We can't accept that. You can't be made about yourself and the Torah. That's ridiculous. Hadas Baldin Kameidim Dabi means against you, not for you. So you can't, what you're about Dabi, you can't testify that someone owes you a nascha. So that part of that Ploni took a nascha from me, what word do we cut out? From me. What words are we left with? Ploni was chaytif and nascha, which is exactly the same thing that the Erechot said. So this chotef has in the back of his mind that if I dare say lo chatfi, I'm setting myself up for trouble. I'm setting myself up for a possible scenario where I will be accused by both Edom together, rightfully so, in effect, Bezim will accept their Edos, and I will be disqualified the whole Edoship with her. I'll be labeled in Halacha by the Bezim as a Gazlan. Says Tosis, that's a year off. It's a tremendous pacha. No one wants to be labeled as a Gazlan. So a guy's going to think a million times before he says Lochatvi, if he knows that an Erech is already there. So comes Tosis and says, a guy's going to say Lochatvi. It's a yira to say such a thing. If it's a yira to say such a thing, ois migo. Ad kan devir Tosis. Comes Tosis and says, l'chora, we have two equally valid reasons to disqualify this migo over here. Either this is a migo to ha'oza, because the chutzpah to say lochatvi, or it's a migo de yore, because he's afraid to say lochatvi. So forget about this whole Rashi or Minatam story, that may work, may not work, depends on the boxes, their ices, their abundance. That was one failed attempt by Tosis. But now Tosis has l'chora salvaged two other attempts, two other ways to explain away what happened in the sugya. What are the ABCs of Naskal de Rabbi Abba? What's the problem of the migo? Either it's a problem of migo de ha'oza, or it's a problem of migo de yore. Now, of course, Tosis' second mahalach, that it's a problem of migud yore, is only true of what's true? If the Gemara's Hedrin is true. If there is such a principle called Pagid and Dibur, if that Gemara really stands. So we just have to take an aside, just in parentheses, is that Gemara really true? Is that halacha true? That you have a combination, two Edom and you testify together. One of the Edom is Kashali Edom, the other guy's a Maldover. We take what the Maldover said, chop it up, rip it up, put it to pieces, take the part, extract what we want, and put it back together again. Humpty Dumpty Edom, that's okay? You're allowed to do that? Pagin and Dibura? What's the problem with that, Rabbi Isai? What is the basic fundamental problem with that principle of Pagin and Dibura that appears in the third preface in Hedrin, appears in the first preface in Hedrin also? What halachic statement is flying in the face of Pagin and Dibura? Eidus what? Shabbat l'miktzat. Did we talk about it this year? Last year we talked about it. This year? What did we talk about it? What? It was about this year? In the sugya no gave Eidus? Ilah v'tuvia we spoke about? What? Ilah v'tuvia, Machas of Zion we spoke about? No. Okay. We didn't talk about it. Last year we talked about Ilah v'tuvia? It's the other half of the right. Comes the Gemara Sanhedrin and has this principle of Pagin and Dibura. Just for a minute, we have to talk about it. So the Gemara, in the first parak has it, when the third parak has it, come to Rishayim and ask, this cloud of Pagin and Dibura flies in the face of another cloud of his Eidus, called Eidus Shabbat L'mitzah Shabbat L'kula. What is the application, the example of Eidus Shabbat L'mitzah Shabbat L'kula? Is a sugya in Dav Zayin in Maseches Makos. It's a sugya of Yilo V'tuvia. What was the story of Yilo V'tuvia? So Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and there was an Arev involved in the case. Okay, an Arev means a cosigner. So Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. He was nervous Shimon may not pay back, so he took a third person, a Levi, to be the Arev in the case. So the shtar is all written up that Reuven's lending $1,000 to Shimon, and in case Shimon doesn't pay back, there's an Arev. Levi's going to pay back and Shimon. That's the presentation of the shtar. One small technical problem, the two Edom who were called in to serve as Edom of this Havar, their names were Eloh and Tuvia. And what does the Gemara say about them? They were the Edom to, they were Krovim to who? Lo and behold, they happened to be Krovim to the Arev. They were not Krovim to the Malva, they were not Krovim to the Loiva, they were Krovim to the Arev. So the Gemara says, Eloh and Tuvia crave the Arev Have. The Gemara says the whole Dintar is thrown out the window. Because since Eloh and Tuvia are Krovim to the Arev, so they cannot possibly testify on the Arev part of this Din Torah, even if this Din Torah never makes it to the point of an Arev. Even if the Loiver plays Beis back himself, it doesn't matter. These Edom are thrown out. This is a Havar B'li Edos, because of the halachic principle called Edos Shabbat L'mitzah Shabbat L'kula. So Frecht, the Rishayim, what are you talking about? Why don't we just cut and paste the Edos? Let Eloh V'tuvia testify about the Etzem Halvah, the Halvah from Reuven to Shimon, which they're perfectly qualified to testify about, because they're not related to neither Reuven or Shimon. The fact that they're relatives to Levi, so we'll cut that part out of the Eidus. Eidus Shabbat L'mitzah Shabbat L'kula, why? Isn't Eidus Shabbat L'mitzah Shabbat L'kula an outright contradiction to the principle of Pagid and Dibura? Age-old question. So comes the Rosh at the end of the first Berakh HaMachas and quotes the famous answer from the Raivi that we have spoken about in different contexts, where the Raivi draws a distinction between one and one, between an Eidus to Psul in contrast to a non-Eidus to Gamre. So comes the famous Raivi, we spent about 2 weeks on this last year, comes the Raivi, this year we did a little bit, last year we spent a lot more time on it, that comes the Raivi and he says that Eidus Shabbat L'mitzvah Sabbat L'kula means when it's nitvas on it, Hashem Eidus. When Eidus is chal on what's being said, but it's an Eidus p'psul, then we say Eidus Shabbat L'mitzvah Sabbat L'kula. When the Eidus doesn't even get off the ground, but it's not even called Hashem Eidus, it's just blabbering, it's not halachically nitvas as an Eidus, so that's not called an Eidus Shabbat L'mitzvah Sabbat L'kula. Says the Ravid, when you testify against your relative, that's Hashem Eidus. It's an Eidus, that's a possible Eidus. So that's what the Gemara says in Machlokes of Zion. That when the two Eidim, Ilav and Tuvia, walk at the Beis Din and start to testify about this loan, part of the testimony revolves the Arev. Every word they say about the Arev is labeled as an Eidus B'Psul. Once it's marked as an Eidus B'Psul, then the whole Eidus gets thrown out the window. So even that part of the Eidus that theoretically is not related to the relative, is no Shaychas to the relative, it's only relating to the Malv and the Loiva, by definition must get discarded as well. That's what Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzvah Sabbat L'Kula means. However, in Palgin Dibura, says the Ravid, when it comes to Palgin Dibura, the Eidus that was said was about himself. I'm a Baldova. I'm saying that I borrowed money beribis. I'm saying that I did an Avera. I'm saying that you were Chotev my Nascha. These are all examples of Eidus which is related to the Baldova. The Eidus that revolves around the Baldova is Nishken Eidus. It's not Nitfasan and Hashem Eidus Bechlal. It's nothing. It's Dvarim Betalim. So what do you mean Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzvah Sabbat L'Kula? There is no Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzvah. It wasn't Eidus Bechlal. So forget the fact that it's not an Eidus, it's not Nitfasan and Hashem Eidus, that is what ultimately is the prerequisite for applying the principle of Pagin and Dibur. Famous Yisoyif in the right. So this Gemara that Tosfos is presenting, this is a perfect example. This is Mamish Hainuach. This Gemara of Naskut Rabbi Abba is much closer to Sanhedrin, to Pagin and Dibura, than it is to Ilah V'Tuvia, because this is talking about a Baldover. This is a Baldover, that the Bala Nask is a Baldover, so we're going to accept his Eidus vis-a-vis saying that the guy was Chaytev, we're going to reject his quote-unquote Eidus, his non-Eidus, his non-entity statement that he was Chaytev for me, and we'll apply the principle of Eidus Shabbat L'Mitzasa, I'm sorry, we'll apply the principle of Pagin and Dibura here. So Baruch Hashem, we've salvaged two Pshatim in Texas. Okay, so we have a little bit of an understanding what happened to this Migo. The Migo failed either because of the Rashi of Benetam, the Reis of the Rabbanim story from the beginning of Taisus, or it failed because it's a Migo to Azza, or it failed because it's a Migo to Yari. Comes Taisus and says, these last two answers are not good. The first answer was Gor no good because it was too complicated, Rashi of Benetam. These last two answers are no good. Says Taisus, why are they no good? What's wrong with them? There's nothing wrong with them on conceptual grounds, there's something wrong with them on textual grounds. What's wrong with them on textual grounds, Rabbi say? What's wrong with them? Says Tosis. Anyone read this Tosis? Comes Tosis and says, Da ha-mashma, di ilav, di eid mechayv ha-shvua, ha-yapotar. Da ha-kochach, b'migo, di b'migo. What did Tosis just say? Tells us that if you read the Gemara on Daf Lamed Aleph, you come to the immediate realization, what is undoing this Migo? There's one word on the page that's causing this Migo to self-destruct. What's the one word? Shvur. It's not the existence of the Eid Echad that's rooting the Migo. It's the ability of the Eid Echad to be Mechayev Shvur that's rooting the Migo. Let's be famous. The Gemara says, "I Eid Echad, Eid Echad is Mechayev Shvur." If Tosfos is right, that what ultimately destroyed this Migo was the mere existence of the Eid Echad, there's an Eid Echad here, Oy Gevalt, I don't want to be Machish the Eid Echad because I don't want to be Mechutzav. Oy Gevalt Keshrigan, I don't want to be Machish the Eid Echad, I don't want to end up being possibly Eidos. It's not the Shavua Shabo that's ruining the Migo. Imagine the world of make-believe that wouldn't have been a Din of Shavua Eid Echad. Imagine that would have been the reality. The Torah never would have given us the Parsha of Shavua Eid Echad. So the simple reading of the Gemara isn't this Migo would have been good. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with this Migo. The text of the Gemara doesn't indicate that's the Eid Echad that's destroying the Migo. It's only because there's a Chiddush HaTorah called Shavuos Eid Echad that's removing the possibility of the Migo. So says Taisus, according to what we just said, that this is a Migo that has a problem, what does that have to do with Shavuos Eid Echad? Just the presence of the Eid Echad is enough to create a Azza. According to we just suggested that it's a meal diyore. What is the fact that an erech is mechayev shvuah? Why does that have any relevance? Just the mere presence of the erech, and I'm tittering, I'm shaking, that lest I be proven by the erech and the baladaska to be a shakran. That in and of itself is what disqualifies the migo. There's nothing to do with the shvuah. Shvuah is tangential to the whole discussion. But if you read the text of the Gemara, it ain't tangential. That's the whole point. The whole punchline of the Gemara is the shvuah shabai. So Taisus throws the hands up and he says, we're back to the drawing board. So it took us 20 minutes of yesterday's shiur, it took us an hour of today's shiur, and we still haven't disqualified the migo. We're back to square one. What is wrong with in chatfei, the dichatfei, migo that I could have said lo chatfei? The Rabban de Raisa, forget it, too complicated. Rashi, Rabbi Tam, Shach, Smart, forget about that. Migo it's Amigo de Aza, it doesn't sound away from the Gemara. Amigo de Yore, it doesn't sound away from the Gemara. So what's wrong with the Migo? Very disappointing. A lot of time, we still don't have a problem with the Migo. Nope, what is Taisa saying? Comes the Re and says, I'll tell you what's wrong with the Migo. We were 100% right. You know what's wrong with the Migo? What's wrong with the Migo? It was the Migo de Ha'azah. That was the problem with the Migo. We just have to do a little bit of touch-up, a little bit of surgery in this Migo de Ha'azah. We thought, why is it a Migo de Ha'azah? Okay, I have two times in front of me. In Chatfei, di Chatfei, or to say Lo Chatfei. So to say Lo Chatfei, there's an Erechat screaming at you, Yuchaytif, Yuchaytif, Yuchaytif. We thought that's a chutzpah. I would never go up against somebody else. I would never think of contradicting another person. I would never fight with somebody. That's the Ha'azah Shabbat. What does the Re do? The Re revamps the Ha'azah Shabbat. What's the Ha'azah Shabbat? Why is this a Ha'azah to say L'chatfei? Why is it a Ha'azah? Because I know in my heart of hearts, not only am I contradicting somebody else, but I'm contradicting somebody who's waving a flag at me. What's the flag say on it? Shvuah Se'echa, man. That's a chutzpah. That's a chutzpah. I'm going to go and lie, knowing full well that the guy, not only is he screaming at me and he's yelling at me, he's calling me a chakran, he's got the Torah on his side. He's got a Pesukim Chumash and Pasha Shoftim on his side that's showing that I'm a shtickle chakran. The Torah makes me swear. So comes Tyson and says, we were right. We called it right. We just didn't quite formulate it properly. We got it right. We got the right call. The call is it's a Migo de Ha'azah. But we thought the Ha'azah was created just by the mere presence of the Eid Echad. That's not true. An Eid Echad's presence doesn't create a Ha'azah. It's an Eid Echad carrying the flag of a Shvuah that creates a Ha'azah. That's what the Re says. So comes the Re, to the famous baby Re, the Vada im loya ein mechayv shvuah, lu yitzira wouldn't have been a din of Eid Echad mechayv shvuah, hayinem b'migo di b'yom alochatvei. She yokalayis part of machish the Eid b'lo shvuah. I don't have any problems. I can be a mechutzvah, I can scream it, I can disagree with people. Aval hashta de mechayv shvuah lo mehemen b'shvuah de migo, she yokalayis part of lishah, but davish ein machishai. That's the Re's pshat in the Gemara. So the Re Baruch Hashem salvaged the previous pshat, but just did a little bit of a working up to it. That's the real problem of this migo. So Rabbi says, so we have four mahalchim so far. What could potentially be wrong with this migo? Either it's a migo from a derabbanan shvuah to a deraisa shvuah that may or may not depend on the whole sugya in Bava Basra if ayin is there such a klal or not. Then we have plain and simple migo de ha'aza, which tells us rejected. Then we have plain and simple migo de yari, which just taught us a little bit about edus shabbat b'tzas b'kula, but the end tells us rejected on textual reasons than gemara. The only pshat that we have that Tais is really, really comfortable with, at least at this point, is the pshat of the Re. And that is that it's a Migo da'aza, yes, but it's the Shvuah Shabo that creates the Aza dimension of it. So we have four possible mahalchim. Naschad Rabbi Abba did not become famous for these first four mahalchim. We had to go through the work, had to do the homework, touch them some nice sugyas. Naschad Rabbi Abba became famous for whose teretz? Which teretz? The next teretz in Taisus. And whose teretz is that? The Rivam. That's what gave Naschad Rabbi Abba its name. It's the Rivam's Mahalach as to what the problem of this Migo is. Comes the Rivam and says, what appears to be a Shtikl Sisri Torah. Comes the Rivam and says, the Migo meets all the criteria of Hilchus Migo. So, Raisa, the Rabbana, come on, that's a good Migo. Migo to Aza? Not Aza. Migo to Yaya, what are you afraid of? There's no problem. There's nothing wrong with this Migo, says the Rivam. There's only one thing that's preventing this Migo from working, from applying here. It's not Klal Mehilchas Migo that's preventing the Migo from being said. There's a halachic principle that's preventing the Migo from being implemented. What's the halachic principle? What's the halachic principle that is putting the brakes on this Migo? It's not Hilchas Migo. It's not technicalities of ha'ozu, not ha'ozu. Yeah, mechutzu, no mechutzu. Yeah, yori, not yori. Yeah, deraisi, yeah, derabanan. What's preventing the Migo from playing out? There's one thing alone. Like the Gemara says, what is it? What is the problem with this Migo? There's nothing wrong with this Migo. Why isn't it working? Because what? Because there's a Chiyuv Shvua here. And Erechot is here. Erechot is Mechayev Shvua. And somehow, somewhere, we can't get around that Shvua. We have problems getting around that Shvua. All the Migos in the world are not going to get around that Shvua for some reason. And if there's a shvuah here that cannot be addressed properly, that cannot be removed, even though Migo, quote unquote, works here, Migo is a good nemanis here, it's a great Migo, it's all 127 klum of the Shach of Migo, it's still going to lose because Hilchas Shvuah is going to prevent it from working. And that's the Sishah Torah of the Rivam. Why? What is it about Shvuah Seir Echad that inhibits this Migo from taking place? So now we've opened up a whole new dimension of the sugya. We're leaving the world of Migo, we have to enter into the world now of Shavuos Erechot. We have to understand what the nature of Shavuos Erechot is all about. And ultimately, we have to really, really understand the principle that appears in that Gemara. Rabbi Abba's great Chiddush. Rabbi Abba's famous for one thing, for being the one who said, Mitoich Shnei Yochel Lishava Mishalim. We have to understand that principle. What is Shavuos Erechot? What is the significance of the person who cannot take a Shavuos Erechot? How does that play out in terms of Migo? So we added the details of Migo into the dimension of Shavuos Erechot, and hopefully the impact it's going to have on Hilchos Migo. So hopefully, Mitzvah Hashem, next week, that's where we're going to continue the sugya. So this was all the first half of the first half of the first sugya of Naschad Rabbi Abba. We got another two more sugyas of Naschad Rabbi after this. But the first half of the first sugya of Naschad Rabbi is what's wrong with the Migo. Up until now, we worked on conventional Migo reasoning. Now we have to move on to a different mahalach. Okay, we'll stop here. A little bit of chumash.